Auburn scrimmage under the lights is in the books. Let's break it down.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy dadgum Friday. Pretty good sports day yesterday for Auburn. Baseball wins big, scores a bunch of runs. Hoops wins by around 20 points. Had your first scrimmage under the lights. A lot of good stuff going on yesterday. We're going to break down the scrimmage. Got some intel, got some notes. We'll talk through those. Talk about the Hoops win, and we'll give out our Jack Arse of the week at the end. Let's go ahead and dive in. Auburn had their first spring scrimmage last night under the lights in Jordan-Hare. Gosh, so much going on. Had a baseball game going on. I mean, just crazy bug stuff going on. And I said this on my show with Ben Taylor, Afternoon Delight. I was really looking. I want to hear about offensive explosion. I want to hear offenses ahead of schedule. I want to hear those things, because it feels like every single year we get literally the opposite end of the spectrum. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like anything's changed yet as far as offense goes. I think the theme, it seemed last night, was that the offense struggled. The defense was really aggressive. Lot of three and outs. I'm just telling you how it is. They struggled to move the ball last night. I don't have a ton of context. There's not just a ton of information out there. I don't have a ton of context as to why. Was it offensive line? There's been some reports. There's been some talk that establishing the run has been tough, and then not being, I guess, great on first down. We talked to Alex Golish. Coach Golish later this afternoon, and I'm sure that those questions will be asked. So maybe we'll get a little bit more context into what the struggles were. As far as ones-on-ones, I think you only had one touchdown drive. From a context perspective, I don't know how many drives that was. But, the quotes were, it seemed like they were three and out every other time. I think Byram did throw a touchdown pass. I saw some people say it was 50 yards. I say some people say it was 30 yards. Regardless, it was a explosive touchdown pass. But overall, the first team offense was whipped pretty good by the first team defense. Now, again, what are the typical things you hear? Oh, the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense this point in time. The defense. This benefits the defense. This kind of scrimmage benefits the defense. You don't know what the offense is going to look like because Byram can't run. All those things are true, okay? All those things are true. But I know from an Auburn fan perspective, if you're like me, it's like rinse and repeat. That's the first thing that goes through your head. Now, I don't necessarily think that is the situation here. For whatever reason, even though I hear that, I just don't feel any anxiety or any, I guess, worry when it comes to the offense. I just feel like this staff has proven it. You do have a lot of the same people from last year in the offense, particularly quarterback and wide receivers. We'll talk about a lot of the individuals that were starting and whatnot here in just a second. So you would think they'd be a little bit further ahead, I guess, at this point in time. But a lot of time left. I mean, obviously, 8 months or whatever, a long time until kickoff. And then you got several other practices left, too. You got another scrimmage, and then you got a day. So we'll see what happens between now and then. But, yeah, it did seem like defense won the day, and it was very, very convincing. Couple of, personnel notes to talk about. So Wilson Zaire, the note from earlier in the week from practice has carried over into the scrimmage. He was at the ones at left tackle. I think that's huge. I think that's a big deal for him and his development. That's really, really good stuff to hear, because I think he can be a really good player. Obviously, he's your four-star offensive tackle. Early enrollee, and I understand he's playing because of an injury in front of him, but still, that's good news. Getting him acclimated as fast as possible is breaking news. That's good stuff. Switch over on the defensive side. I think this was a question that a lot of us wanted to see answered. But you had Deshaun Womack, no surprise, was with the ones, and he was that Keldrick Falk role. He was your hand in the ground defensive end. And I think that's what we predicted. That's kind of what we talked about. That was what we expected. It's on the other side that is sort of been up in the air. And it looked like that Jared Smith was your edge, your buck pass rusher, stand-up edge with the ones last night, which is awesome to hear. We've been waiting all camp for this. We've been waiting all camp for Jared Smith to emerge somewhere, whether it's hand in the ground, whether it's stand-up. That's the name we've been wanting to hear. And then, you know, I know causation and correlation are two different things, but he's in there and the defense crushes it. So could it have been that the pass rush was great? Could it have been that the defensive line in general was explosive? Did Jared Smith have a big night? Those things I'm sure will come as, you know, the days go by. And honestly, I really feel like Golish is going to be pretty forthcoming about the scrimmage. He doesn't shy away. He lets you know when he's pissed. He lets you know when things don't go right. So we'll see what happens later this evening. It feels like maybe there is a punter battle. There was a lot of punting last night. And I think that the Evan McGuire may be edging out Hudson Cox. So there's a lot of people there that were like blown away with McGuire and what he can do. So when you get a lot of punts, in a spring, Evan was a couple years ago. When you get a lot of punting action in, you get a lot of eyes on, you get a lot of evaluation of your punt game, and maybe John McGuire could be your guy for next year. I know a lot of us were, a lot left to be desired as far as from Hudson's season. Again, multiple three and outs. I'm just going down the notes. Definitely on the first possession and the second possession from the ones, there was a three and out. Tia was your number two quarterback. No surprise there. The number twos versus twos, they moved it a little bit. I think you had one series where Omar busted a long touchdown run. And I think it was like very quick. It was a very short drive. So he busted a long one. Omar is a storyline. Let's just call it what it is. Like, we keep talking about Bryson Washington and we keep talking about all these other backup guys to Cobb. But Omar always goes second. He's always number two in the rotation. And now you have him ripping off big runs with the second team and scoring touchdowns. So I don't think Omar's going anywhere. I don't think Omar is going to just lay down and accept that you bring in this guy and he's the de facto 1B. He's here to play. So he's constantly a name that you hear and see on videos and things like that. Rashawn Pleasant was your starting corner opposite of Andre Jordan. So there was some talk about there. Gavin Jenkins, you know, Shamar Arnaud, you got a bunch of guys over there. Pleasant's your number one when you go out. Your starting interior guys were Sigler and Dallas Walker, which is no surprise. And then also no surprise, your three wide receivers were Singleton, Nimrod, and Koger. So that was your three starting wide receivers. Not a surprise at all. Separation, I'm told, was a little bit of an issue. And just overall, the offense just was bogged down. The defense won convincingly. So take it for what it's worth. A lot more context will open up, I'm sure, as the days go by. But a little disappointing, I think, if you're an Auburn fan. Doesn't have to mean anything, but I think it's a little disappointing just because that's what we've heard for multiple springs now. So hopefully things will change as, you know, the days go by. We're going to talk about the Hoops win last night, and then we're going to give Jack Arce of the Week. Before we jump into the Hoops game, we got to give a quick shout-out to Precision Tune Auto Care. They will not disappoint. They go off every single time you visit. It's not about trying to fleece you on your first visit. They want you there for the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th visit as well. So they want you to keep coming back. It's all about hospitality. At the corner of Pepperell Parkway and I guess Veterans in Opelika. Show them some love, locally owned and operated, and you know you're going to be taken care of. So check them out. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then if you need a good real estate agent in the Auburn, Opelika area, hit me up. It's Kyle Rush at KW.com. Would love to help you and your family, whether you want to buy, build, or sell. Doesn't matter. If you want to move to Auburn, hit me up. I'll help you out. If you need to get out of Auburn, I'll help you. If you want to just buy a game day rental, a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff, a lot of income-producing properties out there right now. So hit me up. We'd love to help. We'll be back right after this. Hoops and baseball, man. We'll talk about the Final Four win first. Obviously, Auburn takes down Illinois State 88-66, convincing win. And this one was fun, man, because you could tell early on, they started out, they hit their first two shots. You could tell early on that this team was in trouble. You could tell that Auburn was probably going to handle Illinois State. They hit some crazy threes like most teams do against Auburn. That's really the only thing that kept them in it early. Auburn scored 51 points in the first half. So when you're scoring at that rate, this team's good. This team looked a lot like some of those early season games. And I think that's probably – it was awesome to see, but it's also one of the more frustrating things to see because that team was in there, man. And they didn't have Keyshawn Murphy. That team was in there. Those type games were in there. And for whatever reason, down the stretch, we couldn't pull them out. I know people are going to be like, level of competition. It was an 8.5-point spread. Auburn was an 8.5-point favorite, I feel like, or close to it against, you know, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, LSU, all those teams down the stretch. Ole Miss, Auburn was – you know, big favorites. If I'm not mistaken, Auburn was a double-digit favorite in at least one of those games, maybe two. So I understand it's a mid-major. I understand it's not Power 5, Power 4, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, in a postseason tournament where I guarantee you Illinois State wanted it, it meant more probably to Illinois State than it did to Auburn. They went out and they played motivated and they just lit it up on really both ends of the board, on both sides of the ball. Didn't really give up that many points either. Only 28 points in the second half. Just completely shut them down. They only had 10 points through the first 10 minutes of the second half. It was just complete domination as they pulled, you know, extended that lead. Get kudos to Kevin Overton. Round of applause, my man. Didn't miss a shot. The only shot he missed was a free throw. And he only shot threes. He was 5 of 5. From three-point range. We were joking on the Barncast last night. Zach would say, let's have a discussion about, you know, a couple of the shots that Kevin Overton's missed. And then the joke was he missed none, so we were just quiet for an awkwardly extended period of time. The Barncast was awesome, by the way. All of the NIT Barncasts have been fantastic. So great game from those guys. Keyshawn Hall was great. Tahad was great at times because he played like a point guard last night. He played like a true point guard. He had 5 assists. We had a pile of assists, man. We had 20 assists, 20 on 34 made shots. That is winning basketball right there. Pretty much even on the boards, they had a big guy, and they were getting some weird bounces too. But overall, just great game. 57% from three, 60% overall. Didn't even have to shoot a bunch of free throws. Only shot 11, made 8 of them. Just, man, just good game top to bottom. Auburn wins 22 points. Now you go to the championship game on Sunday night at 7 p.m. on Easter Sunday. So make sure you're there. We're going to have a Barncast for that one as well, as we see if Auburn can, you know, put a bow on a disappointing season. Not going to lie about that, but maybe give you a little bit of hope going into next year. Feel really good about Overton returning. Feel really good about Jovic returning. Jovic had a good game last night. So, you know, if you can convince Freeman to come back, you know, if you can convince, you know, maybe a couple of Sway, some of those guys to come back, you got a good core moving forward. Baseball rebounded hugely, hugely, and silenced a lot of haters. And here's the thing about baseball. I'm not quite as locked in as I need to be on baseball, but from the times that I've watched the games and people talk about hitting, and I'm looking particularly if you go rewatch that second Alabama game, they're hitting the ball, man. They're barreling the ball. And I've played in these type of games where it feels like everything you hit is right at somebody. And it's not lazy pop-ups. We're talking about line drives. I remember specifically I watched 2 or 3 innings of that second Alabama game before I was disgusted. And you got runners in scoring position, and they're hitting lasers and dudes laying out and laying out and catching those balls. Now, fast forward to last night. There was a very, very similar scenario. Okay? I can't remember who hit it. I want to say it was Chase. But there was runners in scoring position, and there was one out. So if you fly out, I think, obviously it puts you in a really bad spot. And they hit a laser out to right field, and the guy's running in to catch it, okay? And it's, again, it's a barreled-up, hard-hit ball. And he doesn't dive, but it's a very, very tough play to reach, and he drops it. And it was such a tough play, it was ruled a hit. I think it was ruled a double. That's the kind of thing, like, that's the kind of break this team just hasn't gotten over the last 2 weeks, it feels like. Last night, the bats got hot, and then everybody started hitting. Then they started falling in the gaps, and Auburn wins 10-2. Could have easily been a 10-run game. They actually tried it. They had a sacrifice fly opportunity to end the game with a 10-run rule and got thrown out at home. So, good stuff, man. Andy Alvarez is unbelievable. He got moved to the weekend. Still technically a weekend start because even though they started on Thursday to get this thing done a little bit early. He's good, man. He had a unbelievable – I think it was the 5th inning or the 6th inning. It was the 5th inning where he got in a big jam. It was bases loaded, and he had a 3-0 count. And he got out of it without giving up a run. Had a nasty strikeout. Chase Frelick framing it like just an artist. Had the umpire in a blender. I mean, the umpire had it was whatever Chase put it, it was a strike. Good game all around. They needed that one bad. They needed that one really, really bad, and they won convincingly. So go ahead today and lock this thing up, win this series, and kind of get back on the train, and maybe you can have a good little finish, good little stretch here. So good stuff from baseball. Let's do Jack Arso of the Week. I struggled with this one because there was a lot of options, and I was kind of torn between two. I'm still not 100% sure which way I'll go, but this segment, everybody's favorite segment of the week, is brought to you by Jack Arse Rentals over in East Alabama, Columbus. 762-208-5013. If you need a boom lift, if you need a scissor lift, if you need to be lifted in any sort of way, they got you covered. You want a mini, you need a mini X, you need a skid steer, whatever. All the equipment that you could possibly need for your project, they can help. Give them a call and let them know. Use coupon code BARN10 if you check out online, or if you call or go in person, mention the show. You can get 10% off your order. Show those guys some love if you're in the East Alabama, Columbus area. All right, let's do Jack Arse of the Week. I'm still 50-50. Hell, I'll just do two. How about that? Let's just do both. My number one is, this happened on Friday of last week, so I didn't get to do it. Or I would have picked it last week. But Tiger Woods, man, and this hurts because I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan. Okay, that everything he did was right in like my wheelhouse. Like all his greatness happened right in my, like when I was peak into golf and athletics. Okay, so for the most part, from an athletic standpoint, you could call him my a hero. All right, but everything off the course has been an utter disaster. And you're literally a billionaire. Like you're so rich. Like you're so incredibly wealthy. You live in an area that's super secluded and you're surrounded by mostly other wealthy people. To the point where, like, I don't know that the people around you get starstruck by you, like in what you do. Like I feel like it's people that are just as important that are like on the left, right, and down the street and you know, in the supermarket and at the gas station and all the local restaurants and the club. And I mean, your golf club medalists that you're a part of is like all PGA guys. Because the answer he gave reportedly about why he doesn't have a driver is because he doesn't like people to know what he's doing. It's like, bro, sign NDAs. Get dudes to sign. I'll do it. I will sign an NDA enforceable by death. How about that? Just to drive you to and from. There's no reason. There is no reason this has to happen. And I understand the circumstances are tough. I know there's pain that he deals with. And I know I feel for folks that, you know, didn't choose this. You know, didn't choose that. Like it's the pain led to maybe an addiction, and that's awful. And I have sympathy for you, but bro, like, don't drive. You're gonna kill somebody. I mean, luckily, the only vehicle you hit was one that was just parked in the road, and you know, it could have been worse for you. But thank God that was the case. So, bro, get a driver. Please, for everybody that loves you and wants to see you play on the, you know, the senior tour. He had signed up for the senior U.S. Open. Like, that was going to be fun. He had the Masters this coming up weekend. I mean, he was going to play in the Masters. Like, come on, bro. Get it figured out. And then I think the other one, and this is, I don't know if this is a Jack Arse moment, but the Dan Hurley headbutt thing is wild to me. It's wild. You hit the go-ahead shot, and then he goes up and head bumps the referee that could have easily been a technical foul. Like, that could have been a technical foul. They get two shots, and you could lose the game. I don't understand why that wasn't called. Like, he and this referee must have some type of history. They must be buds or something off the court. Like, that was like you go dap up your bro, but you did it with your head. And then at the end of the game, after they win, he goes into the locker room and takes off his pants and wraps up in a towel. I'm okay with my shirt getting wet. I'm okay with my jacket or whatever I got on getting wet. But by God, don't get my pants wet. Quirky guy, weird guy. I can't believe he headbutts the ref. Like, at the end of the game, no matter what the score was, that's just crazy behavior. So that's my two for this week. So let me know if I missed one. Give me another one. Also, shout out. I missed this in the scrimmage. Takiyo Spikes and Cam Newton at the scrimmage. Cam Newton and Byron Brown had a moment. It's on Auburn's football's X page, Twitter page. It was magical. And hopefully it was just hopefully the magic from Cam to Byron takes 24 hours to kick into effect. And that's why the scrimmage was maybe a little bit rough. So we'll keep you posted. If we hear new notes, we'll share. Go to thebarnauburn.com where you can stay up to date on scrimmage notes. I think we were one of the only ones that had notes out last night. So make sure you sign up there. And, you know, we'll be here again. We're going to have a Barncast Sunday night. We'll be back next week for more. We really appreciate it. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.